I want to move now to the new definition on anti-Semitism that was announced this morning that universities have adopted in Australia. So, like in other places around the world, there was a push, which precedes, October 2023, a pressure on universities to adopt the IHRA. In Australia, the vast majority of universities have refused to adopt the IHRA. Really, only a handful of universities did. They did acknowledge the risks it poses to academic freedom and freedom of expression on campuses. There was enough evidence by then from the UK and elsewhere to show that this definition is problematic, that there is no consensus around it, and that its real intention is to limit criticism of Israel and Zionism. Most universities refuse to adopt it, arguing that their anti-racism policies and also existing laws provide sufficient protection and that there is no specific justification or reason for exceptional treatment in the form of a designated definition of anti-Semitism in universities.
For those who don't understand what the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism, I think it's a controversial definition whose author actually came out against it, Kenneth Stern, and he wrote a very popular article saying that it was supposed to not supposed to be adopted as a policy of any country or any state or any university, but it was meant to be used for polling or statistics and so on and so forth. And it's got five, I think, seven examples of the 11th of examples of anti-Semitism is criticism of Israel as a state, for everyone who doesn't know what IHRA is.
The IHRA definition is definitely a controversial definition. And so it's really tying anti-Semitism with criticism of Israel. So, for example, if you say that Israel is a racist state or a racist endeavor, according to the definition, that would qualify as anti-Semitism. So based on that, calling Israel an apartheid state or a settler colonial state is anti-Semitism. And there is really enough evidence to establish the political intentions behind it, which has less to do with protecting Jewish people from anti-Semitism and more to do with protecting Israel from criticism. And now, as I mentioned, Australian universities, the vast majority have refused to adopt the definition. And what we've seen since October is Zionist groups and, Zionist politicians. And here I'm going to say by Zionist, it's everyone who supports Zionism. They could be Jewish or non-Jewish. And so it is not a replacement for the word Jewish. It is an actual commitment to an ideology, a racist colonial ideology, to be precise. So what we've seen is Zionist politicians and civil society starting to mobilize at the political level to create basically political pressure on universities. So a pressure from above. Unfortunately, so that included two parliamentary inquiries into anti-Semitism at Australian universities. The second one, the report was released just a couple of weeks ago. This has included the appointment of a special envoy on anti-Semitism, who was also the former president of ACAJ, which is the main Zionist organization in Australia. This has included the student ombudsman, which is not designated only to this cause, but will have an impact for us as well. And the student ombudsman has adopted the IHRA as well. And it included a pressure on universities. So there is threat of judicial inquiry, which universities are trying to avoid. And it's important to note, that the Liberals have already stated have stated that if they win the elections, which is probably in a couple of months' time, likely in April, they will establish judicial inquiry and legislate the IHRA into law. The G08, which is a consortium of the leading universities in Australia, that includes eight universities, worked with the envoy on anti-Semitism to create own definition of anti-Semitism. Some would argue that this definition is akin to the IHRA definition. I would argue that it is much worse. You know, I have it in front of me. It was sent to me today. I want to read a couple of, so you know what is being discussed. So one of them is criticism of the policies and practices of the Israeli government or state is not in and of itself anti-Semitic. However, criticism of Israel can be anti-Semitic when it's grounded in harmful tropes, stereotypes, or assumptions, and when it calls for the elimination of the state of Israel or all Jews. This is the exceptionalism. No state has right to exist. People have right to exist. People have rights. States is a modern constellation. I'm speaking here as an academic, as a political scientist. You know, it's a modern phenomenon. You can, you know, oppose the existing of states. You can argue for the dismantlement of state. We have anarchism. But more than anything, what does it mean to say? I mean, no one is talking about the elimination of the state of Israel. Elimination is a genocidal language. It's wrong language. But we could say that what we want to see between the river and the sea is an equal polity, is a polity, a state that is based on equality rather than on a racial regime that provides and guarantees equality to all people living in that territory. They could be Arabs, they could be Jews, they could be migrants, but a polity that is based on equality. That, according, well, is it elimination of the state of Israel? Right? I mean, so what we see is this kind of terminology that is really aiming to prevent any thinking about the political future of this land between the river and the sea, preventing us from imagining alternatives to what the international community has determined to be an apartheid regime, a racial regime of discrimination. So calling from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free or free Palestine, is anti-Semitic. Calling the dismantlement of the Zionist regime may be interpreted as anti-Semitic. Now, I can call for the dismantlement of, you know, the Australian state. That's part of political debate. You know, the specific choice of elimination of the state of Israel really exemplifies the way that they are thinking, and they're projecting their genocidal convictions and their genocidal thinking on us. We don't speak in terms of elimination. We are speaking in terms of liberation. We are speaking in terms of equality and dignity for all. They're speaking the language that is genocidal, a language of racial superiority, a language of Jewish supremacy. And what this is doing, that phrasing, is a protection of a colonial racial supremacist regime and preventing us from thinking about how we can transform that regime. When Amnesty International calls, says we need to dismantle apartheid, we need an end to an apartheid, is that an elimination? Is that elimination? It is not. Second, the definition goes a step further in trying to enshrine Zionism as a protected identity. Now, let's be clear. Zionism is not a protected identity. Zionism is an ideology. It's the belief that Jewish people have the right to a state in Palestine, right? On the expense of Palestinians. Here, there is an attempt to say that, no, it is an identity. And actually, when you say Zionists, which go back to what I said before, right, then you mean Jews. And actually, what you're doing is anti-Semitic act against Jews. So one of the second thing that the definition is saying is all people, including Jews, have the right to self-determination. Now, obviously, this definition excludes Palestinians from the right to self-determination, right? For most, but not all Jewish Australians, Zionism is a core part of their Jewish identity. Substituting the word Zionist for Jew does not eliminate the possibility of speech being anti-Semitic, end of quote. This definition is worse than the IHRA. The logic that guides it is very dangerous, and it's very concerning that our universities thought that it was, you know, fit for your university context when we are in the classroom, where we research, where we teach, where we think, when we need to break boundaries, when we need to think creatively, that that's a fitting definition in a university setting. It's the same universities that refused to adopt the IHRA because of a risk to academic freedom that is now adopting a definition that is far more worse than the IHRA, that will limit further academic freedom and freedom of speech and expression on campuses and right to protest.